gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. It is written, the grass withereth and the flower falleth, but the word of God abideth forever. It is written, all scripture is inspired of God. It is written, whosoever heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a man who built his house upon the rock. It is written, holy men spake from of old as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These things put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of them that hear. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane babblings, for they will proceed further in ungodliness. Amid the storms and doubts of unbelief we fear, stands a book eternal that the world holds dear. Through the restless ages it remains the same, 'tis the book of God and the Bible is its name. 'Tis the book that tells us of the Father's love, when he sent his Son to us from heaven above, who by richest promise creates hope within, for 'tis through his blood we are saved from every sin. 'Tis the book that tells us of the will of God and the Savior's teaching while the earth he trod, how he soothes earth's sorrows and relieved its woe, through whom strength is given to conquer every foe. 'Tis the book that tells us of eternal life after faithful service in a world of strife, and this glorious triumph over death's dark fears is the world's best gift in an age of constant tears.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from the Apostle Paul when he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many times people pick up the Bible and read it like no other book. They open it up anywhere and start reading and then wonder why they don't understand it. Then, too, it needs to be rightly divided. If you want to know about the life of Jesus, don't turn to the book of Genesis. Turn to the section in the New Testament that tells about his life. If you wish to learn about the establishment of the church, don't turn to the book of Romans. Turn to the book of Acts. To learn about the duties of Christians, read the epistles. While you can learn something of these things anywhere in the Bible, there are certain sections that specialize in various areas. So, rightly divide the word of truth. The first division in the New Testament is the life of Christ, found in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As with all great men, we are always interested in when they were born and when did they die. We read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke the story of Jesus. His birth is recorded in Matthew and Luke. Jesus had an unusual birth. He was born of a virgin. The angel told Joseph that the child that would be born of Mary, thy wife, would be of the Holy Spirit. Gabriel told Mary that the power of the Most High would overshadow her, and the holy thing that is begotten shall be called the Son of God. After his birth, we are told how he appeared at the age of 12 and confounded the scribes at Jerusalem with his questions and his answers. Until the age of about 30, he was engaged in the carpentry trade, And then he began his ministry of a little over 3 years, going about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. As to his death, Jesus died young. He was only about 33 years old, and he died a horrible death. He had a police record in Jerusalem. He was numbered with the transgressors and died the death of a drunkard, an adulterer, a murderer, a dope addict, and a thief. Actually, Christ died for our sins. He was made to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then after he died on the cross, he was buried in a borrowed tomb that belonged to a rich man named Joseph of Arimathea. And on the third day, an angel announced to Mary Magdalene and other women as well that he was risen from the dead. One reason it was a borrowed tomb was because he did not need it for very long. 3 days would be enough, and Joseph of Arimathea could have it back again and use it himself later on. Another reason the tomb was borrowed was because the burial of Jesus had to be a high-profile tomb. God did not want any mix-up as to just where his son was buried. Jesus had predicted several times that the chief priest would deliver him to the Gentiles, to mock, scourge, and crucify, and the third day he would rise again. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus arose early on the third day. After spending 40 days on earth after his resurrection, he went out to the Mount of Olives and gave the final instructions and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And then slowly and with great majesty he ascended into the heavens to sit down at the right hand of the Father. We need to note that before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave the apostles the Great Commission. He said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." That was the Great Commission as found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Great Commission is the greatest document ever given on planet Earth. It is far more important than the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Emancipation Proclamation, all rolled up in one, multiplied in importance by a number so infinite that no man can imagine. Adherence to the Great Commission guarantees spiritual freedom from the tyranny of King Devil. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And now the next division in the New Testament is the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the book that tells us about the history of the church that was established on the day of Pentecost. It is a story of how a rank bunch of amateurs took the gospel of Jesus and preached it all over the world they knew at that time in one generation. They did it in spite of the fact that, with the exception of Paul, they had no degrees. There was no Bible college, no radio, no television, no publishing house, no computer, no airplane, no church building. Acts gives us the basic account of the conversion of sinners to Christ, and also the account of some of those who were non-conversions. There are several examples of conversions. It is important to note that before they preached the plan of salvation, they first of all preached the man of salvation, then the plan of salvation. Some today preach the man of salvation and leave off the plan of salvation. Others preach the plan of salvation and leave off the man of salvation. It is a fatal mistake to do either one. The first example of conversion is on the day of Pentecost, the day the church began. Now, here are several statements that Peter made in that sermon regarding the man of salvation. He said, "Ye by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay. God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death. Then this Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are witnesses. He is at the right hand of God exalted. God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom ye have crucified." When they heard about the man of salvation, they were pricked in their hearts and asked the apostles what they must do. At that point, Peter gave them the plan of salvation. He said, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Many responded and were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Now, another example of conversion is the event where Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, a man of great authority. He is what we would call today the secretary of the treasury of Ethiopia. Philip preached unto him Jesus from the text about a sheep being led to the slaughter and like a lamb being dumb before his shearer. He preached to him about the man of salvation. And when they passed by a place of water, the secretary of the treasury said, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip told him if he believed with all of his heart, he could. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so they stopped the chariot, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Philip preached the man of salvation. I don't know what he said in that text, but he preached about Jesus dying on the cross. He must have included the plan of salvation, or the Ethiopian would never have asked him about believing and being baptized. Another example of conversion is the Philippian jailer. The jailer brought Paul and Silas out of the prison and asked them this question, "What must I do to be saved?" Now they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." The jailer at this point did not say he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because this was the first time he had ever heard of Jesus. That is why Luke tells us that they preached the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And when he heard the word of the Lord they preached regarding the man of salvation, then the jailer, when he heard about the man of salvation, knew what he believed. And so to show his repentance, he washed their stripes, and then he was baptized the same hour of the night. He heard about the man of salvation, and he obeyed the plan of salvation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are other examples in the book of Acts about the man of salvation and the plan of salvation. But remember, Moses said, by the word of two or three witnesses, every word would be established. We have given you three witnesses from inspired writers in the Word of God, and that should be enough to establish it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the next division of the New Testament is the 21 epistles. The epistles were all written to Christians, written to churches in various localities. Three of them were written to evangelists, such as Timothy and Titus. The epistles were written to tell the Christians how to live the Christian life. In Romans, Paul speaks to present-day conditions when he tells us that God gave them up to uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Then in Corinthians, he speaks to a church that had many problems, as many modern-day churches do. they had problems of division. Problems where one man was having an affair with his stepmother. Some were worshiping idols, much like today's Christians who worship millionaire ballplayers. They had problems with speaking in tongues. They had problems with the proper way to observe the Lord's Supper. Some had a problem with the resurrection. They even said there wasn't going to be any. In Galatians, Paul warned the Christians about believing any other book but the Bible as inspired. He said, "If any man preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema." That means accursed. In fact, he said, "Even if an angel should preach any other gospel unto you, let him be anathema." And of course, it was in Ephesians that Paul gave his 7-point unity for the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "There is one body and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." In Philippians, he reminds the Christian that to depart from this life and be with Christ is very far better than living in this world. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Colossians, he instructs, among other things, the husband and wife relationships. And in Thessalonians, he had much to say about the second coming. One thing of great interest is when he tells us that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive that are left unto his coming shall together with them be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In the epistles of Timothy and Titus is advice to evangelists. His charge to Timothy is noteworthy. "I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Then we go over to Hebrews. That contains a solemn warning. "Neglect not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as ye see the day drawing nigh." He says to neglect this obligation is to trample underfoot the blood of the Son of God and to put him to an open shame. And not only that, but the guilty ones are doing despite to the Spirit of grace. Then James tells us that our lives are like a vapor that appeareth for a short while and then vanisheth away. Peter adds to that thought also when he says, "All flesh is as grass, thereof as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of God abideth forever." The Apostle John writes 3 short epistles, and he instructs us that when Jesus comes, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be made like him. And then I like the way that Jude winds up the 21 epistles with this statement of assurance of final victory. Listen to Jude as he says, "Now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, before all time, and now, and forevermore. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And now, ladies and gentlemen, the last division of the New Testament is the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation tells us of the future and the final triumph of Jesus and his church. In the first chapter of Revelation, the Apostle John tells us that the Lord Jesus is the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He tells us also that Jesus washed us from our sins in his blood, and that Jesus has made us to be kings and priests unto his God and Father, and to him be the glory for ever and ever. Then John reminds us that the victorious day, when the Lord will return, he said he will come on the clouds of heaven, and every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. Then between the first chapter of Revelation and the last chapter of Revelation is the prophesying of the future events. The reader of Revelation will be impressed with the number of times in that book where the letter or the number seven is mentioned. We read of such things as the seven spirits of God, seven candlesticks, seven churches, seven stars, seven angels, seven lamps, seven heads, seven mountains, seven kings, seven trumpets, seven bowls of wrath. Many and varied are the interpretation of these signs. The best way, however, to put the whole thing in perspective is what the Lord said about the seven thunders. When the seven thunders sounded, John was about to write down what he saw, and the Lord told him to seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. For this reason, no one will ever be able to predict the future with accuracy. Revelation is like a jigsaw puzzle. We can never complete the picture because the events of the seven thunders are always missing. There will always be something in Revelation that we don't understand. It is enough for us to know that in Christ we are victorious, because in the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus promised to return, and he made that promise three times. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly." And the Apostle John responded, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." So Paul's advice to us is, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Wonderful book called the Bible. Guide of my feet day by day. Light on the pathway to glory and the guidebook to show us the way. First, the Old Testament scriptures tell how the prophets foretold how Jesus would come to save us, and that story will never grow old. Read then the Gospel of Matthew. Mark, Luke, and John tell us too how Jesus would come to redeem us and give us all life anew. See how the church then was founded. Acts of Apostles will show. It is the book of conversions, and we all must read it to know. 21 letters will follow, telling us all how to live, adding to faith Christian virtues. Faithfully, then, we can live. Last of all comes Revelation, telling of heaven so fair, how we will meet the dear Savior together, his glory to share. So open the Bible and read it. Ponder its message so true. You will find there the great plan of salvation, why Jesus died for you. Ladies and gentlemen, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Christian churches and churches of Christ who are concerned about your soul salvation. The God is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address is Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Remember, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Until next week at the same time, don't forget. Tell someone, somehow, and in some way, as far as the Christian is concerned, God is just a prayer away.